You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Great job.
Thank you.
It's really nice to have this conversation. Yeah, I don't even know where to start other than, you know, the first place I hear is like, we need allies, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, Laura, you know, oftentimes in our household, I am the only white guy at the table. You should come over for Sunday dinners, by the way.
I would love to.
Yeah, oh, my God, you totally should.
Yeah. Lovely.
My daughter has moved to L.A., so she comes too.
But, oh, nice.
She's 20 at LMU, but so she's in your age group, but. One of the things I'm learning about the role of allies, like I think that for a long time when I've heard, like we've been together almost a decade or a little over a decade. And so learning about my role as an ally has been a journey. And initially mm-hmm. it was a very defensive stature. I grew up in a really white, it wasn't really white. It was really diverse, but it was a really sort of biased
segregated.
Setting. It was in Virginia. Mm-hmm, yeah. It was in the South. Everybody knew their roles.
Right.
And the awareness of what I didn't know wasn't apparent to me. And I think when I was listening today, I think one of the first things that came to me was the role of an ally in this setting is to understand what I don't understand. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Accepting that the world that has been presented to me has been colored a certain way.
Right.
Right? And what I've learned over the last decade at sitting at the table is that there's a lot that I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know? And your conversation is important because I want to understand more. And I think that most people who want to be allies don't get there. You know, they actually spend, I wanted to spend a lot of time defending being white, being a male.
Right.
You know, we as majority are under a lot of fire.
For sure.
Yeah. So to admit what we don't know is a big thing. And for me, it started by just listening. Would you have any advice for allies? Now, I know you're also in a relationship with
A white person, yeah.
As well, yeah. And do you find that that helps you coach the ally?
Yeah. I feel like Camille has had, and I don't want to speak for her, but this is just my perspective. I think a somewhat similar journey. Like, I have just always been the way I am and just going off and saying how I feel. And when we first got together, I believe she felt a little defensive. Like, why are you hating on white people all the time?
I mean, I think it's most people that I know, that's their first response.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, wait.
And I think it's a human thing.
Yeah,
I don't think it's
absolutely.
A white thing or a straight thing or a man thing. I think it's a human. I mean, perhaps maybe it is more man than woman because men are just conditioned to have everything figured out, like head of household, mm-hmm. blah, 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 all of those things. To be wrong or not know something is more of a blow to the ego. So I think that does actually make sense. But in general, I think defensiveness.
It hurts. It has shame and it has guilt around it. And I think that that's what most of us as the majority have to get over is understanding.
For sure.
That's normal, but it's not permanent.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean anything's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I think what she has done really well is learn to just listen and is now at a place where she said to me recently, it shouldn't be your job to educate ignorant white people. Like, that's actually my job. And I was like, yes. And, you know, exactly the snaps. So to what you're saying, I think, and this is always the thing that I say to people when they ask, which is more recently, it's mainly about listening. Mm-hmm. You don't actually have to know anything. It's just, if I'm telling you I was uncomfortable just now during this interaction, just listen, just soak it in. And if you have a question, great. If you want to say why or what about this, but it's not about your experience in those situations. It's about mine and listening and asking questions.
I agree. And I'm working really hard on it. And I usually know that when I feel that initial shock of defensiveness, that's my indicator now to just listen. And I've had a lovely teacher, you know, to just sort of guide me along the way to say, you can't say that or you can say that.
Right.
Right. Because I want to play with it. I want to get comfortable with it and have fun with it because I want to be a part. I think on the human level, the part that's frustrating for all of us is that as humans, I think we just want to connect.
Yeah.
Right? Like, bottom line, we want to be understood or we want to understand or vice versa. And I think that culture, skin color, things like that just takes so much effort to understand.
Yeah, because it's hard to understand what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a huge difference between being racist and being racially ignorant. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I am very racially ignorant about Asian cultures. Mm-hmm. I haven't had as many friends of Asian cultures as I would like to, so I might say something super ignorant, but I'm not racist.
Right. You need an Asian ally, right?
I need someone to educate me. Mm-hmm. And that's my problem. That's my fault for not surrounding myself with more people, but I'm not racist. And so as a person of color or a white person or anyone recognizing that difference, just because someone, there's a difference between calling a black person the N-word mm-hmm. and then like asking if they're from an urban area. Like, that's racially ignorant.
Or can
and
I
like,
touch your hair?
Yeah. That's not. That's
or can I touch your hair?
Oh my not God. Cool and really frustrating, yeah. But that person isn't racist.
Right.
And just even recognizing those differences, that's the grace, right? Mm-hmm. It'll help people who are just trying to learn.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
We had a guest on the show, one of our first guests. His name was shout out to Jay Connor, by the way.
Always shout out Jay Connor.
Jay's episode was about being the only black man at the writer's table.
Ooh.
And he called what you're wanting to put down, he called emotional labor. He's like, I'm done with emotional labor. What his whole thing was, he was going to form communities that represented him.
Yeah.
And he's done it. He's done it really well. But I had never really heard that responsibility as emotional labor. Like, he's just like, I don't want that responsibility. It's not my job to explain to people why this is the way it is.
Yeah.
I've done it, you know, and I heard that today when you were talking to Laura, like, I don't want that responsibility either. Or maybe I do. I don't know. You were kind of both like
right.
trying to decide what part of that.
Yeah. Well, that here's you want. Just an example of that. Of a friend of mine, a white woman, she was, we were just having, there was a couple interactions where she was saying things like, oh, man, now my mind is going to blank because it was kind of traumatic, even though we were friends, saying things about like, I have a lot of black friends, or super stereotypical, racially ignorant things. But then when I called them out to her, she started crying. And so then it became me comforting this person mm-hmm. who made me feel really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's this moment of like, it fills me with rage because I don't want to be doing this.
Right.
But if I don't, if I just walk away while this woman is crying, then how is she going to be educated? I think that is the emotional labor. I wish I could think of the other things that were said right now, because it was just stereotypical racially ignorant things. But she didn't, again, she's not racist. She's just racially ignorant. But it was traumatic for me. And it's a tricky line, because you don't want to just walk away. But I also did not want to be there. So what do you do?
Yeah. Well, and I think allowing people to take whatever role they want. You know, I think it is, you know, my responsibility as a person who's been a part of the privileged piece to reach out when I feel like it's important, you know.
And
I admire Jay for being like, I'm just not going to do it anymore. And I don't judge him for that, but I do feel like I see opportunities to be effective or not be effective. And that's the role I get to take, you know, as we go along. And, you know, my daughters are kind of like your age and younger. They're what is Nora? We decided that her generation is,
maybe she's Gen Z.
I think if she's 20, I think she's Gen Z.
The 20-year-old, and then I'm 15-year-old.
Oh, 15 is definitely Gen Z.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really interesting to see how big an issue this is in her life. You know, and she lives in a very whitewashed area.
She lives in Stowe, Vermont.
Oh.
Yeah,
and where, like, basically, if you aren't a part of this particular perspective, then where are you? And it sounds very similar to what you were saying as far as, like, where do I fit, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's a really cool conversation to be having, because, you know, there are so many people in the world, and we communicate so much quicker than we've ever communicated before. And people can connect on a level that they've never connected before, as far as what's similar about them versus what's different about them.
Yeah.
Right. I love that thing you said, I just want to be a person. You know, when Laura did the first run of all the letters, I can't even do it.
LGBTQIAK.
Yeah, and you were like, you know, I kind of like, I just want to be a person, right?
Yeah.
And I really feel like that's where we're headed, where we're letting go of stereotypes and cultures and ideas in order to just be happy. And
yeah,
I hope that conversation continues to see that we're all bonded by our human experience.
I hope so too.
Yeah, I think it has to. The other thing I loved was you said something about, why don't they just cast roles for people who are the best actors? And the very first thing that came to mind was Hamilton.
Right? Amen.
Yes.
And of course, in that case, it wasn't just who were the best actors. He did swing the other way and was people of color only, excited for the king, which is hilarious. But
it was a phenomenal experience.
Oh, yeah. Right? And it's one of the most, like, sold out, best, highest grossing
Broadway
musicals
forever.
Of all time.
Yeah, it changed it for sure.
Yeah, that is a great example.
Yeah, it is. And I think that type of thing, you know, Atlanta, I think of shows that are just done really well and really reflect the culture.
Yeah.
Or teaching people to just have an experience and not be a black experience or white experience or Latino
for
experience.
For sure. Yeah. There's an upcoming movie coming out. There's a couple, I forget what they're called, with Issa Rae. One is like a romantic, the photograph.
Yeah, the photograph. We were just looking at that. Yeah.
It's just, they happen to both be black. But it's a
it looks beautiful.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's not a movie about black people in love. It's a movie about people who are in love who happen to be black.
Yeah.
I love that. Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like, we were talking about that type of education, like subliminally slipping a beautiful story in with characters, or like Hamilton, where you focus on the performance and the people are in it, and not just, you know, what have they done here, you know?
Yeah.
Well, slowly, as far as Hollywood goes, help to transform these ideas.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope so, too.
And if people, I feel like the younger generation that's coming up in Hollywood is me and my friends.
I heard that today.
And if we continue to be ourselves and bring people along, that will obviously change Hollywood. But also, if every person, if every higher up, every producer, writer, showrunner in Hollywood right now had one person of color, or just one non-white, non-straight person that they were mentoring, one each, it would change
the whole landscape. Yeah, right.
Everything. Just one.
Thank you.
That could be your
out.
Campaign.
Yeah, that
maybe
could be
it just should. One. Just one.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I
just
like
one.
That.
Yeah. Hashtag just one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Thank you so much.
Yeah, exactly. You'll get your. Don't worry. You'll get your credit. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you were fantastic.
Thank you.
This is.
I can see why Johnny, so showstopper is here. Like,
love
that.
Him. Yeah. I love him so much.
Yeah, I love him too.
He's
thank
good
you.
People.
We'll keep our eyes on you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening to Scott Talks on The Only One in the Room. Don't forget, subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. We have new episodes for you every Tuesday, and we'd love to hear how you're enjoying the show by leaving us a rating or a review on iTunes. If you have a question or an only one story and you want to be featured in the Dear Laura segment, you can email us at lcr.theonlyoneintheroom@gmail.com. See you soon.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.